Keep It is brought to you by Cozy Earth. And guess what? I am cozy as hell because these sheets are on my bed. They feel amazing. I just had the best sleep of my life literally last night because my weekend was, shall we say, a little sleepless.
Okay.
And I decided to catch up on the sleep with my Cozy Earth sheets. And guess what I am now?
Rested.
Fully myself.
I just got mine delivered.
Yeah.
I am so excited to be like you so I can be just as rested.
And they're bright silver, too. I feel like I'm sleeping on the $5,000 wedge on Wheel of Fortune.
I always knew you were a superhero.
That's me. So why does Cozy Earth stand out? Well, it's the quality, first of all, and the sheer comfort level, plus the lasting impact of these materials. You can now purchase Cozy Earth risk-free. They offer a 100-night sleep trial. Try them for yourself. Every detail is designed to feel effortlessly comfortable. Returns are easy, but after feeling this level of comfort, you won't let them go.
Yeah, plus they have a 10-year warranty. It's built with care and precision because true comfort is meant to endure.
So head to CozyEarth.com and use my code KEEPIT for up to 20% off. That's code KEEPIT for up to 20% off. And if you get a post-purchase survey, be sure to mention you heard about Cozy Earth right here. And we're back, and it's fall, but not really fall. Still summer, but it feels like fall here at Keep It. I'm Louis Pertel.
I'm Nina Parker, and it does feel like summer still.
I am going to hold on to it.
It
as you
is
know,
summer.
I have a problem where I refuse to let go of summer, but it's not my problem because it is summer.
Well, you love summer very much.
Yes.
But you're going to have to come on to the fall side, baby. It's time to fall. I know it's not. The pumpkin spice season isn't your thing.
No, the carriage of summer is about to turn back into a pumpkin, for real.
Not in L.A., it's not.
That's true.
We got summer till November.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be in like a hot tub until Christmas Day.
It's going to be 102 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah.
So please. Like, you've got a little bit more time for your summer.
The weather is inferno. Never mind.
Yes.
I'm going to stop pretending seasons apply or are relevant.
The weather is on hell. I can't believe you're not rooting for fall to come in.
Yeah. Actually, what's wrong with me? Actually.
You're sick.
Yeah.
You're sick.
Well, by the way, I literally was sick this weekend for the first time in forever. Hallie Kiefer of Crooked Media was just explaining it might be allergies to rain, which we suddenly got following the Emmys, the Creative Arts Emmys, which were on Saturday, which I went to with my best friend, Alex. I was so happy to drag him here across the country where he is a heart surgeon in New York
LA.
To come here to watch me lose.
He came into your world.
Yes, to watch me lose.
I love he left saving lives to come here and go to the Emmys.
Well, as you know, I think helping people in your profession is cheating. You shouldn't get paid for that.
I always think when people are all stressed out and you have like people sending you emails and all these rundowns and they're frantic. And I'm thinking about like the people who are literally like saving lives. And I'm like, I need everybody to relax.
Right.
Like nobody's going to die if we don't talk about Madonna. Well, you might. We don't talk about Madonna.
Don't speak
but
for me.
Other than you.
Don't speak for me. You got
everybody's
in my face with that one.
Everybody's going to be okay. But wait, I want to talk about the Emmys because you went on Saturday. There are two nights, but you went
on
Saturday.
Now, let me just say something. There are two nights of the Creative Arts Emmys before the primetime Emmys.
The ones that are televised.
Yes, that are next Monday. And I don't want to denigrate my night at the Emmys, but they clearly put all the celebrities on one night, and that was not really my night. Like, it was a lot of technical awards and stuff. Like, for instance, like, the guest actor Emmys were the day afterwards. So that's the one where, like, Betty Gilpin won for Widow's Bay and, like, Connor Story was up for Saturday Night Live and things like that.
Shailene won for Paradise.
Correct.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, like, we had a lot of reality stars presenting for us, things like that.
Yes.
But, like game show categories were there, so I got to hang out with all my friends from Jeopardy. That was fun. And then the talk show categories were presented, too. So.
Yeah. So you guys were the runners up.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Right. They'll never release the full tally, but yeah.
Yes.
Best writing for a variety series went to Stephen Colbert.
You kind of thought that might happen.
I mean, like, thematically, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're off the air and they, like, were dutifully doing their jobs and they were whisked into obscurity because of, you know, a horrible president.
Yeah.
No other reason.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So, of course, like, we got to give them their last little run. What do you think they'll do now? Like, do you think that he's going to do an iteration of that show somewhere else?
Gosh, it's really interesting. Well, I mean, I think if Stephen Colbert has proven anything, it's that he loves to evolve. Like, it would kind of surprise me if he wanted to do the same thing again.
Sure.
Like, if you compare that show to The Colbert Report, they have nothing in common.
Right.
If you compare those shows to when he was on, say, Strangers with Candy, that's another version of him that, like, had never existed before.
Which is fun, I think.
Yeah.
There are some people you get, you know, like, there's some people like Lisa Rinna who wear the same hairstyle for 30 years. Like,
right.
It's just, they're going to give you the same version of the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I do love people that kind of just throw different things at the wind and just see what sticks, because they're truly like a person of their craft.
Yeah, right. I hope he kind of innovates something. I mean, it's just like the format. I think he's good at interviewing people, first of all. Yeah. And I think he's good at candidly talking to an audience. And if he finds a new innovative way to do it, I'd be thrilled, because I would love this format to be kind of updated.
I'm like still in disbelief that it's gone.
Me too. Yeah.
It just really feels like we're in the bad place.
Yeah. No,
more and more frequently.
It's like if you just told me, actually, we don't have the prices right anymore. I'm right? Like, why? That's right. The only thing I can depend on at 10 a.m.
It's really crazy. So I'm glad that you had a good time. Did you get a little tip? Oh, well, you don't drink. That's right.
Yes.
I'm still in my Vegas stupor. Sorry. But did you go?
I went to the governor's ball afterwards. And let me just say, whenever you go to the governor's ball, and by the way, it looks stunning inside.
Oh,
it's
I love
big,
that.
Giant room. You can count on a cover band doing the most wedding-ass versions of Always Get Lucky by Daft Punk. Always. Did I dance? Yes.
Did you dance? I was going to say, yeah. I thought of you this weekend. I had to. I was celebrating a friend's birthday, and the Chainsmokers were playing.
And you thought of me?
I was like, Lewis would be so disappointed.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
I will say the Chainsmokers, though, their big song, whatever that was, the one with Halsey.
Yeah.
It did have a hook.
Well, you know what I will say? They were in their target audience.
Okay.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
And this is, by the way, this is not anything I would have gone to on my own. This was a friend celebrating. So, you know, when it's your friend's birthday, you do whatever they...
Quite.
It's like, whatever you want to do, babes, mm-hmm. I'm with it. I'll do it with you. So it wasn't I wasn't the target audience.
Sure.
I think the target audience was like sorority girls, honestly. That's all who was in the house. And then my 40-something-year-old, I was the girl next to me. There's a girl, like, we were in this section. My friend knows them. So we got this table behind the stage. And the girls in the table next to us, we were all sitting up, you know, in the booths, because now I'm in my 20s again.
Yeah.
And the girl's like... She turns to me, sweet, sweet girl from Mississippi. And she looks at me and she goes, what college do you go to? I said, you sweet. You sweet, adorable angel. I think she was trying to get a bottle.
Yeah.
I gave her a drink, though.
Yeah.
She said, I said, you sweet baby. And she goes, what?
Wow, she's
stuck with
it.
Literally could be her mother. Yeah. She goes, I'm 21. I just turned 21. I'm going to see. Here. I said, oh, girl. And then I had to get the hell out.
Yeah,
because
right.
Then I said, well, that's the Lord telling me to leave.
No. Every once in a while, I get into a conversation with somebody where I think we're like, you know, seeing eye to eye, and then it's revealed that I could be their father.
Yes.
And then I realize I'm not supposed to be a dad.
You said, the realization of you're not where you're supposed to be.
No.
I said, I think I'm supposed to be taking a nap.
No. God has a plan for me, and I think I should be reading trivia by myself.
I've had my purse searched aside from TSA in like 20 years. They took my gum. They were like, people put ecstasy in this. I was like, I am in the wrong place. I can't have some gum. He took this is what I brought. This is what was in my purse that they confiscated. My gum and my nausea pills.
Wow.
I have pills for when I get sick.
Wait, the gum, is it the kind where you like bust it out of the little thing and they just assume that you can put ecstasy in?
They said that people bring drugs in candy tins. So
even if it's already sealed?
Yes.
Like from the factory?
Yes, wow. Because people reseal things.
Wow.
They're
people
very
are so
clever
smart.
Now. And guess what else they confiscated? My instant coffee. I had instant coffee in my purse. And I said, you know, I think I've aged out of this.
Now, I have a question. Who's bringing instant coffee places? You can get it at every hotel, ma'am.
I travel with it because the hotels are taking out coffee makers.
Are they?
Yes.
Not my hotel.
Yes. Well, baby, I was at the Encore. Don't try to play me. Hold on, killer. I spent good money.
Yeah, right.
Yes, and they did not have a coffee machine. So I often, when I travel to like New York and stuff, I have this Vietnamese coffee that I love. And sometimes I have it on the plane, but I just keep it on me. I got a fan. I got coffee. You know,
wow.
I got Advil and my nausea pills. I'm a 40-plus-year-old
woman. Also, when you say instant coffee, you just like stir it. And like
you
that.
Just see hot water.
That's nice.
They took that because apparently people put the drugs in dissolvable things as well.
Well, unfortunately, I think you just need to start putting the drugs in that stuff.
Well, you know, I'm not... I'll start taking drugs.
Yeah. Just do like reverse psychology. I don't know. I feel like that'll work for you
maybe,
now.
Maybe I'll just, you know, in my mid-40s decide, you know what? Let's try something.
Okay.
Try now, something new.
Speaking of trying something.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this Nathan Fielder person?
I am familiar.
Yeah.
And I have watched his shows.
Yeah.
I still don't get it.
Yeah.
It's not even that I don't get it. He's just a strange man.
That's quite what he is.
And I do find him entertaining, but I think, like everyone, you're just kind of like, what? It does feel like you're taking an ecstasy pill when you watch him, no?
Right. Well, I mean, when I think of Nathan For You, a show that just had, I would say, traditionally comic episodes.
Sure.
Now I look back at that show and think that was like his beta stage.
I was going to say.
And these other shows, like The Rehearsal and stuff, were like launching in so many different directions. And now he has this new documentary about Elizabeth Holmes, whom we've talked about extensively on this show.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Just as a pop culture figure. Sure. Of what was she thinking? What were the people around her thinking?
Right.
And now we get to literally try to figure out what she's thinking by looking into her eyes during this teaser. Mm-hmm. Where her eyes are getting wider and wider, like some sort of Macy's float of like a fish.
It looked, you know, she looked like one of, you know, when you go to Chuck E. Cheese and they have the big animals that are stationary and they just move side to side.
Yes.
With the big eyes. That's what it looked like.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yes. It looked like the murder bear was staring you down, trying to take your soul from you.
And then he also was kind of a murder bear, but was a scared murder bear. Not the murder bear that she was.
It felt just like they were trying to out-awkward each other.
Right.
And it was a contest. I think she won, though.
Yeah.
But it was just, I think he had to also rethink his normal strategy with her, because she is, you know, for all intents and purposes, I believe a psychopath.
Right, right.
You know, so it was kind of like a little bit of a crazy off in this thing. But I have to say, I'm not excited for this like everybody else is. My timeline was filled with people who were excited for Nathan. They don't, Elizabeth, they just know that she's a train wreck to watch. So people are like, this is going to be so interesting. I don't feel that way at all. Like, I feel like I am really tired of people being platformed. Specifically, I find that it happens a lot with white women who break the law.
Mm-mm.
That there's this fascination and glamorization of white women criminals. And I don't find that shit funny, cute, entertaining. I feel like lock this bitch up and throw away the key. I don't want to hear from her, pay her dust, because attention is currency.
We're going to say, you're going to hate the Oxygen Network in the 2000s, because that is all they gave us.
Yeah, it was Bad Girls
the show
Club.
Snapped.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, snapped. You will. Well, wait a minute now. Let's not come to Snap. Now, hold on. Now. Snap was equal opportunity. You know what I mean? Everybody was in Snap. But I think it's more of just like, I look at, you know, Elizabeth Holmes, I look at the fascination that people have with her, or like even Anna Delvey, right?
Yeah.
Where
half the housewives.
Right, exactly. And then like with Anna in 2023, Kelly Catrone had her doing a fashion show in her apartment because she was on house arrest and defended that. And it's just like, you know, there are real victims associated with this. And I don't think that ever, especially if it's like a financial crime, people kind of dismiss it. But like, there are people's lives who get ruined. There are families who get ruined. I don't think it's a game to play with people's money.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is hand in hand with, like, stealing to me is hand in hand with killing somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you take somebody's hard-earned work, I don't care how much money they got, and you steal from him, you are the bottom of the barrel scumbag. And I just think, like, when I see people who are scammers and stuff, like, I don't think that shit is cute or fun, or like, let's be quirky with this. And Nathan does a lot of comedy. So for me, I just don't think there's anything lighthearted about it. And that's not fun for me to watch, because I never see that kind of jovialness with anybody black who's been arrested.
Yeah, I do have to say, it's like, at the end of the day, there is a level of, you're right, levity associated with this that I think means we're not really taking what she did seriously.
Yeah.
Or how is she ruined
people. No, it's light. People still are like, oh, well, you know, yeah, this sucks. She's going away. But like, isn't this trailer funny? No, I don't actually think that's cute.
I also think this is actually, personally for me, a step back for him, because he's kind of just being like the Z way of awkward here.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, let's have a back and forth with this person and see what sort of like non-answers come up. I don't find that entertaining. But also, this is just maybe a genetic thing. I don't want to watch cringe comedy. I don't want to see
it.
What if we just said something funny? I mean, look, it's like basic. I think I'm kind of old fashioned when it comes to what I find funny. Like, I like set up punchline type comedy in general. But to like sit around with this, like, you're right, atrocious person, a willingly atrocious person who, like, you know, was the architect of this whole mess. I don't look forward to it so much. I'm also just not enamored of what he does, really.
Right.
So.
I feel the same way. I do feel like there are people, he has a really big following of people who love his style. And if you don't like it, it's more like people will say, well, you just don't get it. Instead of the fact that you just opt out of his style of comedy and the way that he does these interviews, which I do think is clever, but that doesn't make it any, it doesn't make it less cringeworthy.
Or it doesn't mean that I love it.
And yeah. It doesn't mean I like it. And I agree with you. I don't find cringe or awkward stuff to be entertaining. I don't like getting secondhand embarrassment when I'm in my house on my couch.
Yeah.
I don't find that fun or entertaining or clever. I just think, well, if I'm going around just pointing out the awkwardness of things and trying to force people to do it, I do think there's a lane for that. I'm just not the audience for it. I do get why people enjoy to watch that. That being said, watching these two together is on the highway to Cringeville. I have no desire to get in that car.
Yeah, right.
For me. But I do understand the draw. And I do think it is interesting that he lived with her and that he worked on this quietly, you know, or secretly for 3 years and nobody knew about it. And then there's an actress that comes in and is going to do, you know, replay some of it. Even in the trailer, people were saying that these were two different shots at two different times and that it was a reenactment in a sense.
Yeah.
So there's all these like think pieces already being thrown about it. I don't want to look at this lady's big ass eyes for 2 hours. I'm good.
And they're getting bigger by the second.
Yeah, I mean, I said this is going all the way up to her forehead. I'm good. But I understand.
Say goodbye to the eyebrow.
I understand the draw. I think maybe if this was something she wasn't involved in, they were just maybe doing a documentary about it, maybe I'd be more inclined to watch.
No, they're making her like an improv comedian in this.
Yeah, and I just, again, like I said, I just feel like it just releases a little bit of the tension of the responsibility
you're supposed to hold. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just don't, again, if and maybe even if this person was out of jail, you know, because I look at someone like Martha Stewart, right, where she went to prison for a legitimate reason, came out and then got a show with Snoop Dogg in a line at Walmart or whatever. But I don't see that rehab happening for everyone. So it's really hard for me to watch and be like, you know, I know there are people who are in prison for 20 years for marijuana charges, right? So this stuff doesn't, I don't take it lightly. That's just me. I don't ever feel like it's like breaking the law, going to jail, and then doing something that hurt people and then being able to glamorize off of it later. I don't ever get down with that.
Can I also just say, by the way, I don't think Martha Stewart's that cool.
Oh,
I think when she put together her whole industry, that was rad. I love that. But in recent years, when she says things like, I've never made an Ina Garten recipe, that's not cool.
Yeah.
I'm not like an Ina Garten stan or anything, but it's like, Ina Garten's extremely legitimate and you're like throwing shade for what reason? I don't get it.
I had a friend who worked with her recently, and I think like she's very direct and almost like rudely blunt. But
no, something about like her is a little diagnosable.
Oh, you think so?
Yes.
I think it's just very, you know, and I mean, she's been very blunt her whole career. And again, people love it and say it's cute. And especially because she is now in her, I think she's almost 80 years old.
Oh, no, she's well over 80.
Yeah. And so people are just like, she's so fun, cool and hip and direct. And I'm like, I've been called a bitch for less.
been called a bitch
for less than all the things y'all praising. So I don't know. It just, again, it's just like somebody, you know, has a little bit of glamour around it. And all of a sudden, it's just kind of like very lightly dealt with instead of being like, nobody else really gets this kind of treatment.
Right. And also, she's the kind of person who I think could stand to have it dished back at her every once in a while. And I don't know that she ever
one ever does, you know, which is why I think she does well with someone like, you know, Snoop Dogg on camera. Because when she's with...
He is very necessary to this rehab she's had.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. 1,000%. I mean, he helped her a lot, you know.
I also don't love him, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, we'll get into that
another conversation. We'll talk about that when his movie comes out. Speaking of Martha Stewart, do you know that she's going to be on The Real Housewives of New York this season?
What? Why?
This is the most random piece of tea that I just found out. So apparently her makeup artist, Daisy, is going to be cast on the show.
Okay.
And she's basically like a friend of, like probably not as intertwined as the rest of the friends on the franchise, but she's on the show and comes into Daisy's apartment, which is very tiny.
Wow.
Tiny-ish.
Okay, okay.
For Martha. It looks uncomfortable.
Will Martha whip up a batch of something and serve it?
Do you think she's going to feed the other housewives?
I would love to see it. I don't know. In like a poison them all sort of way.
Do you feel like this is an element that she would be good in?
No. Because like Martha's good at, I'm running the show and I'm talking to one person watching me run the show.
She's also very much like a director in her life. So it's like, I feel like she's the type of person that would just walk away from a conversation if she doesn't enjoy it. She's not going to tell you bye.
No.
Which
please.
Would make good TV.
She's very like, don't waste my time. And by the way, I'm counting the seconds.
Yes. Yeah. I've been in New York before and just walk past her in the street and she's just walking through and people do get out of her way.
Oh, yeah.
Like she doesn't, I've seen her just walking, getting on the subway, maybe not the subway, walking past the subway.
I would say she's one of like 10 for real intimidating celebrities.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. I mean, I think for sure it will be interesting to see her on Housewives. I can't believe she must love this makeup artist. I can't believe she agreed to appear on this.
I mean, is this part of the parole? I have no idea.
Do you think it's community service?
I would love to hear. There's no explanation.
Community service is hilarious. Doing Housewives for community service.
I don't know what community is being served exactly.
It might be our community. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Just you and me?
I mean, I'm going to watch a clip or two. I'm not going to lie.
I hope she's funny.
Yeah, she will be, even if she doesn't mean to be.
Okay, the best kind.
And we have a ton more coming up, so you guys stay tuned to hear me and Lewis get into the shows and movies that we're both most excited for this year and some blind spots of the culture that we haven't seen. But first, I have some great news for any listeners looking to spice up their news feeds. So, big announcement from us over here at Crooked. We're so excited about our newest nonpartisan series, Still Counting. Politics can feel like an endless stream of conflict, strong opinions, and information overload. And that's where Nate Silver, Claire Malone, and Galen Droop, they come on in. After years of helping people make sense of polls and elections, they're bringing their data journalism expertise to Crooked. Every Wednesday evening, they'll break down the latest polling, explain what numbers actually mean, and explore what might happen next without the spin or the shouting. If you're looking for a smarter, calmer way to follow American politics, check out Still Counting. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube. Keep It is brought to you by Quince. Now, you know those pieces in your closet that you find yourself wearing on repeat? That sweater that goes with everything, the perfect pair of pants, or the tee you somehow always reach for first? Well, those are the pieces that make getting dressed very easy. And that's what Quince does best. Now, Quince focuses on high-quality wardrobe staples made with premium materials like 100% Mongolian cashmere, organic cotton, the merino wool. The styles are timeless, versatile, and designed to become dependable pieces you reach for day after day. Their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters start at just $60, giving you the softness and quality you'd expect from a luxury brand without the luxury price tag.
Quince also makes premium pants, fitted tees and polos, and breathable activewear, quality basics designed to work across your wardrobe and hold up to everyday wear. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. I have a specific pair of Quince shorts. They're black and they're almost tissue paper soft, but they're durable. I've washed them a million times and I love going to them. They're the perfect summer short. And I'm a 40-year-old who still wears shorts comfortably. You can't take them off me.
Well, it's a heat wave right now, so this is the perfect time to wear them.
Yes, watch me. And it's not just clothing. Quince brings that same approach to everything they make, from hotel quality bedding and bath to kitchen essentials and thoughtfully designed furniture. They make well-designed pieces for everyday living.
So find your next fall favorites at Quince. Download the Quince app for your app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/keepit. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK, too. That's quince.com/keepit.
Keep It is brought to you by Americans United for Separation of Church and State. 250 years into the American experiment, it's time for us all to decide, what kind of a country do we want to be? The Founding Fathers got a lot of things wrong, but one thing they got right was knowing that church and state need to be kept separate. Christian nationalists are trying to destroy that history and take this country down a scary path. They're misusing government power to impose their beliefs, rewrite our history, and decide who belongs in America.
And we refuse to let that happen. Every single day, Americans United is fighting back and holding the line against Christian nationalism with everything they've got. AU has sued the Trump administration 7 times in the last year alone and 12 times since his second administration began. They've challenged the government officials who use taxpayer resources to promote their religious beliefs. They're exposing abuses of power, defending public schools, and holding the government accountable when it violates the Constitution.
But filing lawsuits, changing policy, and community advocacy doesn't happen on their own. They happen because people like you decide to be a part of our fight. If you're looking for an empowered community to join, take a look at what's going on with AU. Visit au.org/crooked to learn more and join the fight today.
Well, Lewis, let's talk about September because I know it is your nemesis.
Yeah.
But Pumpkin spice is back.
What about regular coffee?
Do you not like pumpkin pie?
No, I love pumpkin pie.
You do? Do you like sweet potato pie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes, quite a bit.
We can get you a sweet potato latte.
All right. Ooh, that exists?
Yes.
What?
Issa Rae has a coffee house called Hilltop, and they serve sweet potato lattes.
I believe if you ladies are all about it, then I'll have some.
It's a little too sweet for me, but for the fall, you got to have at least one to activate it.
Okay.
You drink it and your body shakes, and that means the fall is here.
See, I associate the fall with like a soy chai latte, which I think people just drink anyway, but I think that's a fall drink.
That's the whitest thing you've ever said to
me. Thank you. More to come. Oh, well, I'll do myself today.
So we want to talk about the shows. I'm excited. This is our wheelhouse. Like I love a fall show. It doesn't hit like it used to.
I know. It makes me miss like must-see TV and
right?
all that stuff. Yeah.
I feel like there used to be such a push for fall TV. And we really, I know as a kid, like, oh my gosh, like school was coming, my shows were coming back. Like we was getting activated.
Right.
Now it feels like everything is a little cyclical, but there is still new shows for the fall.
Oh, I remember like in sixth grade, like I'm coming back to school and guess what? We're getting a live ER soon.
Yeah.
I was thrilled.
The live episodes, like don't forget, we used to be left on cliffhangers for 3 months.
Oh, please. Yeah.
You know, well, now it's 3 years. I mean,
no kidding. On 7-episode shows.
Now it's 3 years. But are there shows? What's one of those shows that you're super excited that's coming back for the fall?
Well, again, I always say this is a great television show of a not great game. And that is The Traitors is coming back with all normie contestants. And I have been determined for them to come up with an all-normie season.
You wanted this.
Because I believe the contestants on these shows should have nothing to lose.
Right,
and you know, because when you're watching, like, these celebs, and I know they're, like, often, like, reality stars or, like, whatever, Olympians who have nothing to do with the moment or whatever.
Sure. Wait, whoa.
You win the medal and you're bored. I'm sorry. That's how it works.
I had to have that singing voice. Wait a minute. Lewis. You loser. You Olympic loser.
They've already won.
Get out the pool and get in here.
But here's the thing. On these shows, like, it requires a certain amount of, fighting and tussling to get your way. And if you're, like, concerned about image in a what am I going to do after this show way, I don't know that you can really lock in and play the game the way it was designed.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping we get a bunch of people who play the game the way Survivor players play it, which is to say there's always new layers every year that these contestants bring that make you think, damn, somebody is really committed to this game, even in a way like a serious viewer is not.
I think I agree with you. I haven't been a big watcher of the show. And I think a part of it was because of the celebrity of it all.
Yeah.
Like, I think shows for me are more fun when I'm being introduced to this person along with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out who this person is, how they're moving.
And what they're capable
of. If they're stealth. Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of the fun. When I watch someone like Phaedra, like, I know what she's going to bring, which I'm not saying it's not entertaining, but you kind of do have these preconceived notions about people and picking sides already. Because if Phaedra was your favorite on The Housewives, then you're going to root for her automatically on Traitors, even if she's not a good game player, right? So I think there is something fun about having the normies come in and you don't know who to root for.
And also, like, as you just said about Phaedra, it reminds me a little bit of the Queen of Jordan episodes of 30 Rock, where it feels like the pre-made reality stars, like, do their catchphrases and sort of acts before us, and, like, regardless of who's around them.
Right.
So it feels like they have a specific show they're doing about themselves, whereas here, I don't think people can really do that.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you're just like that one guy on Project Runway who keeps trying to say it's the him show, and we're like, well, it's not. So
oh, you coming for Joseph McCray?
I like him, though.
You like him?
Yeah.
So, no, I'm excited for that. I do feel... Do you think that they'll do both now? So now that they're starting the normie season, will they do celebrities and kind of just go between both?
I honestly think that's probably the best case scenario. I mean, like, even, like, I know RuPaul's Drag Race allegedly does this when they bring in new contestants every year, but they should take time off of All Stars and just focus on normies. And, you know, it's like, I like this toggling that
I
they
like
could do,
I like a toggle.
Too. Yeah.
But I do wonder, I do think sometimes, though, booking a celeb is difficult because they go away for several weeks.
Oh, yeah. And they filmed this on, like, Mars or something.
And they already have selected. I think they're already, the celebrity cast has been selected.
Yeah.
from what I've been told, my sources tell me.
Oh, okay.
That the celebrity
cast. In the computer
cast,
over there?
Yeah, in this computer, baby. That's at least some of the celebrity cast has already been selected. So it would be interesting to see, you know, how that comes out. But it does seem like that once this normal one ends, the celebrity one will probably come shortly after.
Yeah.
Which I love that there's not a big pause. I love that there's shows, you know, The Pitt is coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Which it technically is not a fall show. I think it comes back in January.
Yeah, because that'd be an awfully fast turnaround.
But that's a fast turnaround, right? Which apparently this is all because of Noah. Like, he's like, no, we getting back in there. We going to film the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to see that. So it's not a fall show. So it technically isn't good for this episode. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
But I'm just saying that in the reference of some shows are actually turning around faster. And we've been complaining about that. So we have to give kudos where kudos is due.
Oh, and also that show looks like hell to make. I'm going to say my friend is a Steadicam operator on The Pitt. And
yeah.
I'm like, shit, those girls work.
And you know, apparently, like, they're very, it's very much like White Lotus. Like someone told me who has worked on the show is like a lot of the actors get are kind of like a flat rate. So like they really come in, they work and they're not always used every single day. But apparently the way that works is it allows everybody to come in, shoot, leave, and it keeps a very steady time for everything. So they got a, you know, well oiled machine over there.
Okay. Yeah. What's another project you're looking forward to this fall?
I mean, I've talked about this, A Different World on Netflix, September 24th.
Oh, yes. I did not know that original producer Gina Prince-Bythewood would be coming back.
Yeah.
My woman king, first of all.
Yes. I mean, she's coming back. Debbie did not create A Different World, but she was brought in when Lisa Bonet left.
Yeah.
So she was brought in. This is when Lisa Bonet left. They got rid of Marissa Tomei and they restructured the show because, to be honest with you, we never claimed season one.
Yeah. Well, it also was like, what's Marissa Tomei doing there?
Okay. Person at HBCU, but like centering them story is about HBCU is an interesting choice.
And you're right, it is a different world from season one to season two.
Yeah. And you know, I think they talked about the fact that Marissa Tomei was there because execs didn't feel like with this college experience at the time that they needed like a white character to be in there to kind of help soften the all blackness of the show.
And what a hard show it was.
Right. By season two, they was like, Debbie was like, we getting all these people out of here.
Yeah.
And you know, brought in everybody, Freddie Brooks and every, you know, brought in everybody. So I am excited for this. I did the panel for ABFF in the summer with some of the people from the new cast and with Debbie Allen. And they're just really, really excited to start this. And it's not a reboot. A lot of people have been calling this a reboot. That it is not that. It's actually considered like a continuation.
Mm.
So I've had the privilege of getting a couple of episodes early.
Oh.
And it's shot differently. It's not shot like a sitcom. But it's definitely like really cool to see like the Easter eggs and like people that would pop in and out from the show and the former, like there might be some former people on there that, you know, you would have seen regularly on the show that aren't a part of the cast, but will make some appearances. So it's very exciting to kind of basically catch up with the old cast and then see this is their youngest daughter, Whitley and Dwayne's youngest daughter, on the show. So that was following her life and her experience on the Hillman campus.
And also Jasmine Guy, just one of the most stunning stars I grew up watching. And so, so funny.
And you know what I love about this cast is the majority of them have continued to work. Cree Summer is one of the best voiceover actors of our generation.
Yes. Oh, she did the Carmichaels on Rugrats. Yeah.
Yeah. I think any animated series.
Yeah.
90% of them, she has been on it. Rugrats, she's did, you know, what's the Looney Tunes? It was the scary...
You know, Real Monsters? No.
No. It's the Looney Tunes, but it's when they were babies.
Oh, Tiny Toon Adventures.
Tiny Toons.
Yeah.
Tiny Toons, when she was like, forever and ever, I love you forever. She was that character.
Oh, okay.
She was in everything.
No. Also, once you get into that racket of people who do the VO, like,
oh my God,
you work forever.
It's a cult. It's like the mafia. It's so hard to break into. I've been trying to break into voiceovers for like 10 years.
Yeah. Look up the name Tress McNeil. You won't believe the beginning or end of what this woman has done. And she is still working.
They keep, if you get a job in a voiceover, you are secure for life.
Yeah.
And you can do it till you're like 80, 90 years old. Like
Wearing the same pair of Bermuda shorts the entire time you do it.
You get a little studio in your house, which a lot of these guys do, and they don't even have to leave the house. And they just do these voiceovers for the rest of their careers.
But is that a prison?
It's a prison. A golden handcuffs is what they call it.
Okay, well.
Golden handcuffs, put them on me.
Yeah.
That's called security.
Now, I have to get into movies since I am, after all, me.
Yes.
All right, Julianne Moore is coming back to us in a movie called The Debut. where she plays a small-time theater student turned obsessed actress, but in a community theater. We've had very few movies about community theater. You know, we had Waiting for Guffman in the 90s, yes, which was like a send-up of, of that type of people. And it's her and it's Paul Giamatti, the great Paul Giamatti, loved whom it. I just loved in The Holdovers.
Yes.
But in this, finally, people have seen this movie and people are saying she is going to walk to Best Actress.
Really?
She is going to win.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. In this particular Oscars year, the only other performance so far coming to the fore that people have seen is Indy Navarrete in Obsession. Mm-hmm. People are obsessed with that performance. Sure. I just know that if Julianne Moore is allegedly giving a best of career performance, as I'm hearing she's giving now, I can't help but root for that because this woman has never not been sick. Julianne Moore is just the creme de la creme.
No,
when she won for Still Alice, that's not even a movie people, I would say, like, cherish the way they do several, like, Boogie Nights or Magnolia or Far From Heaven or The Hours or whatever else she was in, End of the Affair. And yet that performance is still an A+. I'm so excited for her to be back. The last performance she gave that I was fucking obsessed with was in May, December, a movie that was cringe in a way that we would not care for, but she was spectacular. So I'm ready for more of her.
Oh, more from Julianne Moore.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
it's right there in the name.
No, I feel like there are like maybe four actresses where if they're in it, I'm watching.
Yeah.
She's one of them.
Totally.
You know, like if it's, I'm like, oh, okay. And Nicole Kidman is another.
Yeah.
Like if they're in it, I'm locked in. Angela Bassett. You know,
oh, God, yes.
Viola Davis.
Oh, sure.
So if they're in it, I don't care if it's a Lysol commercial.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
What's your favorite Viola Davis performance?
Ooh. That's
it's a weird.
Good
it's
question.
Like she has the thing she won an Oscar for, which I do love, but I don't know that that's the definitive Viola Davis performance.
I don't think it's what you will expect.
Oh, I want to know.
I don't think it's what you'll expect.
Black Hat.
How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, no, that's a perfectly... I think Glenn Close's best performance is Damages. So,
yeah, it wasn't a movie, even though she's incredible in the movies.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think when I started watching, I wasn't sure what to expect. I was also late to the party.
Yeah.
So I actually caught up on... It had already been out for seasons before I started binging it. I thought the show was just about this, you know, like lawyer. I really honestly had no idea what the show was about. I said, oh, this is, she's crazy in the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's crazy.
It's not normal.
Takes the wig off. Like you, it's just the walk alone was its own character. So I think that was just such a different version of her because for me, she has played flawed characters before, for sure, but not necessarily like crooked.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And like I'm gonna do what I gotta do.
And it's
so
like
I
fearsome
love that.
Too.
Yes,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Very just fearless. And the reads were next level. Every episode, she was gonna read you down.
I think that's a really acceptable choice. I just want to say,
yeah.
I mean, it's like I love her in Fences, and I love her in
sure.
Ma Rainey, etc. But no, that makes also it's like over a series of seasons, you get to like evolve a character. So when somebody of that level is working, it's
yes.
like it's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, and every season, like there wasn't ever a time where she wasn't giving you everything.
Yeah,
and also it's interesting to see her with the younger actors because you can just tell she's teaching them by just giving everything that she had, and that was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, so what else is next?
All right,
on your
I'm
docket?
Still in TV.
Okay.
So, The Gilded Age.
Oh, okay. No, get this. I've only seen the first season.
What?
Can you believe? And by the way, it's like the Lewis Vertel Variety Hour.
I cannot believe. First of all, I'm jealous because now it starts November 1st. So you have from now until November 1st to binge the other two. I believe it's, what season is this? Season 4. Okay, so it's.
I will make you, that's my guarantee. I will absolutely do that.
It's so enjoyable. And can I say, like, Cynthia Nixon, I love her the most on this show. And I liked her on Sex and the City. And I think this was my fault. I forgot how good of an actress she is.
Oh, sure.
Because I'm so used to her playing Miranda. And, you know, at one point she was doing, they were airing these shows pretty much simultaneously. So she was on And Just Like That and also The Gilded Age kind of around the same time. And I'm like, she really, her character on The Gilded Age is such a fascinating character. But for her to be playing it, it was just chef's kiss. She's incredible on that show. Everybody is.
Well, also, I mean, Cynthia Nixon is one of my favorite actresses. Definitely my favorite character on Sex and the City. But I got to see her on stage recently. And, of course, she comes from the theater. She yeah. had a very famous moment in the early 80s when she was in two Broadway shows simultaneously, where she would start in one, run across the street, and finish in the other.
Wow.
It was just an amazing time. And, of course, as like a child actress, she was in things like Little Darlings and Amadeus, et cetera. But she was in this play, Marjorie Prime, recently, in which she was also astonishing. I mean, she's just never not great. There's just something about her that's like, she's in that Laurie Metcalf community of like, the way she looks at you is so gritty and immediately relatable. Like, you know, she's not putting on airs.
And, you know, she's not, she is definitely someone who, like, she works, but she's low key. Like, she's not really outside like that. She'll go, if she's nominated or if her show is nominated, she's going to go to the award show. But she's not someone who is, who's trying to be famous. She's an actor. She's like,
she's very New York.
Yes.
Too,
and you know? Very New York. You know? And so I really enjoy watching her, but I definitely feel, I was like, I was sleeping on her because she just came up. I mean, but everybody on the Gilded Age is such an entertaining show. And even the, just how they frame all the classes and how people are navigating on the show is such a fun watch. So it's definitely, if you haven't seen, you know, like Lewis, if you only watched like the first season, it's such a great time to binge it. This is actually an easy binge too.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Also, Christine Baranski, I mean, she's like if, you know, a tall glass of white wine went to Juilliard.
Yeah, Felicia Rashad joined last season.
Oh my gosh.
And her character is shady.
I have missed Felicia Rashad.
Yeah, so she is on the show.
Even though I know she directed Purpose with the Tony winning play of last year.
She's on it, and she's on it big time. She joined, I believe it was season three, and now season four, she's coming in, I believe, as a full-time character. So she's in that thing.
Well, let me get on it.
Yes, yes. You've been missing, but we missed you, but come on back.
Okay. Another thing on TV I'm looking forward to this year is the miniseries of East of Eden, which is an adaptation of the old John Steinbeck work. In the 50s, it was a famous movie with James Dean, who I've been re-obsessed with recently. When
really?
I was sick over the weekend, I watched Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh, wow.
And I literally thought to myself, he has so much angst in this movie. It's like watching someone who's sick. So I just related to watching him.
You felt seen?
Yeah. But it's like East of Eden just comes from this world. I mean, I know people know it as a book, but as a movie, like this kind of melodrama that really just reminds you of the golden age of Hollywood. It's just something we don't really get in movies anymore. We're like sweaty characters with monologues and like lots of angst and like lingering shots and things like that. So whenever we can revisit that and like get even
That's what you got from Elizabeth Holmes when you watched that trailer.
Oh my God. Steinbeckian tragic character, Elizabeth Holmes. So in this version, we get Mike Faced, who is in Challengers with Josh O'Connor and Zendaya.
Oh, wow.
He's the blonde one that Zendaya is married to. And I want to say he didn't really get the upswing from that performance that I think he deserved. He was fabulous in that movie.
Yeah,
he was half of the, whatever, homoerotic tension that run that movie. He was also in the West Side Story reboot, which was, you know, fabulous. And then Florence Pugh is in this, who was so fabulous in Little Women. I think my favorite Florence Pugh performance is in this movie, Lady Macbeth, which has nothing to do with Macbeth itself. But I was in a theater on a date watching this, and I'm going to go 2018.
Okay.
And something very vile happens. And a woman in the audience got up, went to the front of the room, turned to us and said, "How can you watch this?"
Are you serious?
Yes. I was like, well, now I have to stay.
What?
Yeah.
Was this in LA?
Yes. No, right. You would think this was like, I was visiting my parents.
Right.
And
I was like, was this the Senior Citizen Theater?
Yeah. It was mind blowing.
What?
Yes.
Oh, that would have made me stay too.
Yeah. But she's just an awesome actress. And so I'm hoping they live up to the kind of melodrama of the original. In the original movie, it's Julie Harris, one of my old time favorite actresses too.
Oh, really?
Too,
so, yeah. Okay. Now you got me excited.
Yeah. Oh, and also, by the way, Christopher Abbott is in this too, who I just saw in Death of a Salesman with Laurie Metcalf. This man is sick. I love watching him, so he better be amazing.
Do we know when this is coming out?
That comes out October 1st. I cannot wait to watch it.
Well, look at you excited for October.
Oh, well, I will say this.
We'll make it happen.
Once summer is over, then you get the Oscars movies.
Yes.
So, like, so Oscar season, you know,
you're excited. Yeah. Okay, I love it. All right, so now I want to talk about The Drop. So that is going to be on FX Hulu. That's September 8th. The Drop is a spinoff from Snowfall. So it's really... Snowfall, what to me was such an underrated show. I don't know if you ever watched Snowfall.
Not at all.
Such a miss for so many people. It was done so well. John Singleton started it, obviously, before he passed away. But it's how Damson just got incredibly famous. But a lot of people compared it to Power, and this is no shade to the Power universe. Power universe was definitely about like entertaining and like being more soap opera. Snowfall was incredible to me, was cinema, like it, especially like the first two seasons. So this is a continuation. Gail Bean is starring in this, and her partner who plays Leon, they start kind of like a new approach, and it's almost like the drug game, but instead they're applying it to music. So they really, they try to basically reinvent themselves, and this is after the crack epidemic. So Snowfall took place at the start of the crack epidemic, and this is kind of post crack epidemic in Los Angeles. And so it kind of really starts like the gangster rapness of it all, like when you saw Tupac get popular and Naughty by Nature and kind of that era of like 90s rap. This is kind of centered on that and how a lot of it was still infused, like how the drug game and the rap game were very similar in the way that things were distributed and how people were selling mixtapes out of their trunk in front of, you know, grocery stores. And so I think it's a really cool show. If you didn't watch Snowfall, this gives you a reason to binge Snowfall to me, which was an incredible story about Los Angeles in the 90s. It hits a sweet spot for me. My parents are LA natives. I would come to LA all the time as a kid in the 90s. And there's a part of, I think LA gets really glamorized when we're talking about Beverly Hills or West Hollywood. One of the things that I love, even if we're talking about something bad, which is obviously we're starting a drug epidemic, but when we talk about shows like Insecure, when we talk about shows like Snowfall, I often feel like people don't watch because they kind of just chalk it up as like a drug story. But there's a story about Los Angeles, specifically Black people in Los Angeles and South Central in certain areas that often doesn't get told. But there are stories about family, community, the neighborhoods that I think are missed. And when I hear people say, you know, overarching things about Los Angeles, there's so much of the Blackness that is missed. And there are so many amazing actors in The Drop that are coming out, young actors that really need to be seen. So I'm really excited for this. It comes out again September 8th. Anything about the 90s.
I was just going to say, you can never give me enough about 90s Los Angeles for the reasons you just outlined, which is to say, like, I still don't think, I'm thinking about like where I grew up, for example, when people think of Los Angeles, I don't think they know what they're thinking about.
Right.
You know, like, what is exactly Hollywood to them?
Hollywood.
What do they think? But, like, even that is, like, what's the terrain of that?
Right.
Like, are you thinking just a hill? Like, it's like they have no sense of, like, the millions of neighborhoods that make this up, like, where things are geographically, let alone, like, in the 90s, you know, what that entire story could have been like or how it can be told. So I'm so excited for that. Also, by the way, I believe I am in denial that we do not have John Singleton.
I know.
I just feel like it just hits so hard. I mean, like, Boys in the Hood is just one of those movies where you watch it and it's like, so, I mean, this is like the cliche of cliches, full of life. That is such an awesome movie.
Yeah, I mean, that Poetic Justice. I mean, there were so many movies with John Singleton where he, you know, again, like, he captured parts of Blackness that I feel like you can't capture unless you've had that experience.
Yeah, right.
And I think for me, like, it's interesting when I think about what he would do and bring humanity to gang members, right? When I look at Boys in the Hood, I don't look at it like I really related to that movie because I have cousins who were in gangs, but they would show up for me. Like, they would come to my graduation. They would bring me money to school if I forgot my lunch money. They would stick up for me if I was getting bullied. Like, there were, you know, I didn't vilify them because to me, that wasn't my experience with them. So to have a movie like Boys in the Hood was really important for me, but also was such the tragedies that happened in it were important for people to see too, right? Because a lot of it was glamorized, especially in movies and music videos. So I think it was dealing with both points of that, which only someone like John could have done. And it's such a tragedy that he's gone because there aren't very many people that can capture that in a way that is thoughtful.
Right.
So I'm excited to see anything that's an extension of him. I do feel like The Drop is an extension of him. And I do believe this is something he would have not only been involved in, but gave his blessing to. These are the actors from the show that he handpicked that are continuing on to The Drop. So I'm hoping that if you haven't, I won't spoil Snowfall's ending for a lot of people, but I'm hoping that some of the characters that made it, a lot didn't make it, but some made it. Hopefully we get to see some appearances from them. But if you're looking for original programming, The Drop is that. It's not, you know, something that's been done before. And I think that'll be fun to see.
Okay. I'm so psyched. All right. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. Please tell us what you're looking forward to this fall. We haven't even scratched the surface when it comes to movies. So there's lots more going on, lots more. But when we're back, we're going to talk more about two blind spots we have.
Oh, yes.
We're going to educate each other a little bit on our favorite things.
Yeah.
And we'll see what you think of them, too. Run we're back on Keep It.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So if you could wake up tomorrow and be better at one thing, do you know what it would be?
I would be a singer because I believe I already have the presence of a pop star. And I believe if only I were granted, you know, genie powers, I would be able to sing the world's greatest songs.
Okay, we'll circle back on that because okay. I was thinking more time with my friends and family.
Oh, okay.
I want to put the phone down a
that
little bit.
That must be nice for you. Enjoy, Nina, whatever.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about our mental health. Listen, better is a feeling and it's defined by you. And for BetterHelp, it's a BetterHelp therapist who really gets you. It's a focus on global emotional well-being with thousands of therapists and millions of members in over 100 countries. It's progress.
So sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/keep it. That's BetterHelp.com/keep it. Keep It is brought to you by Nutrafol. Sometimes upgrading your routine doesn't mean changing everything. It's just about finding one thing you can do a little better. If hair health is something you've been meaning to pay more attention to, now's a great time to make it part of your routine. And that's where Nutrafol comes in.
Yeah, Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists because hair health isn't just a one-size-fits-all. Nutrafol offers different formulas for both men and women at any age or stage of life. And now the Nutrafol women's formula has been upgraded to its most advanced version yet. It's 100% vegan, biotin-free, and comes in a smaller capsule size to make your daily routine easier.
Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are peer-reviewed, NSF-certified for sport, and clinically tested. Adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is easy. Order online, no prescription needed, with automated deliveries and free shipping to keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20% off and get added perks like a free Headspace membership to support your hair health journey.
See thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months. Right now, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code KEEPIT. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code KEEPIT.
It's time for a beloved Keep It tradition, blind spots, but we're going to do it a little differently this time. Nina and I each have a piece of culture that the other has never seen, and we're going to try and convince each other to finally come on board. Nina, what blind spot are you teaching me about today? I'm going to fold my arms and wait for it.
Well, for you, I picked a little music.
Okay.
So I am a fan, which I think I'm a new fan. I didn't realize I was a fan. I was a fan of his in the acting space, not necessarily music, which apparently he's been doing music longer.
Okay.
Miles Caton from Sinners.
SAG Award nominee Miles Caton. He was nominated for supporting actor, and that Delroy Lindo was nominated for the Oscar, but he was nominated for the SAG. And then he performed at the SAG Awards ceremony. So I've seen him before.
He's performed, and obviously he blew everybody away on Sinners, which, by the way, he learned how to play the guitar like a couple of weeks before Sinners started. He had never played the guitar before. But he actually is very musically inclined. So he comes from a gospel family. So he had been really singing, I believe, since he was 2 years old, kind of famous-ish as a child, because when he started at 2 years old, there's videos of him in other videos. He was in a Jay-Z video. Like, he had kind of dibbled and dabbled as a little baby. He's only 21 years old, by the way. Infant.
Still 21?
He's 21.
Wow.
He's, that voice, have you heard, like, his voice is like an 89-year-old blues singer.
You're right. It has like five layers of brown liquor in it.
Yes. Excuse me? I know. Did you just say he was off the Hennessy?
Well, I would compare it maybe to, you know, an old blues singer. You know. He's a drunk old man.
You said I know it's a whiskey sour in there somewhere. Like, no, but it is true.
Like, it's always so bizarre when, like, a young singer has, like, a deep voice. Do you know the song Only You by Yaz, which is this, it's this, like, female singer named Allison Moyet, and she goes, Only You. And then you realize she was 20 years old when she sang that song.
I sometimes feel like people who sing, like, soulfully at 20, 21, they're not from this earth.
No. What, like, are they touched by?
How do you get this? But I will say, if we talk about, like, the early 1900s, everybody was singing like this at 8 years old, right? But usually it was because of the pain that they were going through, which... Not for nothing.
Yeah, right.
This climate, we need some soul singing. We need some Wade in the Water singing. So Miles is bringing it to us. So he signed with Columbia this year. And so I think a lot of people are worried, and not worried, but wondering what his next gig will be acting-wise. And I don't actually have anything on that. I'm not sure if he has booked anything since Sinners, which is interesting. I went on his IMDb, and I haven't seen anything that's coming up. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, but on his IMDb, it doesn't list the next film. But he did sign with Columbia, and he has a new single out called Lean On, and it's incredible.
There is something about his voice where, like, for instance, you know I'm a big fan of Karen Carpenter. Karen Carpenter's voice is a little bit like a brain massage. Mm-hmm. There's something about him where it's like a spine massage.
Yeah.
Like it makes you sit up, and it's just so deep. It's like resonating through you like a Brookstone chair.
I was listening to this on my way to Vegas. Now, normally, I'm listening to stuff to get me hyped up. I'm listening to stuff that's going to make me pop it from the ceiling. But I was listening to a little Miles on my way there, and it put me in a good mood. The song isn't groundbreaking, but it's so good and just soothing and just like it's, you know, a little bit of a love song. And I'm a sucker for a man who's begging.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Jodeci fan. You know, I want you on your knees.
Oh, I miss that 1994-ass R&B.
I want you screaming for me.
Yeah.
I want to know that you've called me 12 times from a block number. You know, a little bit of the toxicity gets in there.
Yeah.
And Miles is giving, like, healthy toxicity in this song. But I think you'll enjoy it. And I think more than anything, more than just his singing, like, you're going to enjoy the melody. You're going to enjoy all of that. I think this is something that you are going to be put onto. And so when the album finally does come out, you'll be a fan.
There's something about that song too. You're right. I do think the song is sort of just a delivery system for his voice, but by the way, that's enough. I don't need anything else. Like, it sounds great as is. Also, he better have more acting coming out.
Yeah.
I thought he was one of the more memorable parts of Sinners, playing the cousin of Smoke and Stack, Sammy.
I thought he stole the show, and I really do believe Ryan will work with him again. Ryan is very Adam Sandler in the way that, like, he tends to work with the same people over and over again and employ them. But I have been seeing these headlines of a lot of actors saying, like, they haven't booked anything since these huge movies have come out. And so, you know, I hope that's not the case for Miles. And I'm finding that, unfortunately, with a lot of Black actors and a lot of women actors are coming out and saying, like, they just haven't been getting a lot of support from these breakout roles. So I hope that we see him in more. We have to.
Mm-hmm.
He's so talented. But he posts, he's one of those actors who does post a lot. So if you don't want to download anything, you go to his Instagram page, listen to some music, but it's great. And he'll also post throwbacks of him, like, playing piano as a kid, in which I love a prodigy.
Oh, yeah. By the way, speaking of, like, haunting vocalists, there's one who died recently. Do you know who Cassandra Wilson is?
Yes.
Oh, my God. This woman was sick. She just died recently.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I took a history of jazz class just for the hell of it, basically for trivia purposes.
I love that.
And by the way, has served me well, comes up all the
really?
Time.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you retain all of that? Of course you did.
Yes. No. Also, but, like, jazz is pop culture. Like that, it fits right into the timeline of all pop history we have. So, I mean, like, it was a thrill to learn. But anyway, we didn't do much in the realm of contemporary vocalists, but Cassandra Wilson had to have been my favorite one. Just that one of those voices that, like, three notes in, like, you can be zapped anywhere between now and the 1920s, you know, and it's kind of like a Miles Caton voice.
That voice, I think also we're so in the era of everybody sounds the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the Instagram face where everybody's like, everybody looks like a Kardashian and everybody sounds the same.
Yeah, algorithm voice. Yeah.
The algorithm voice, the algorithm face.
Yeah.
And so I think anything different, I'm so open to. And that, and even with film, the movies that we're talking about, the TV shows, anything that's just different from what we've been fed, it's just feeding me so much right now, because I just feel like it's really hard to be discerning about what we're consuming, because everything's the same.
No, I think in the face of everything being so algorithmic, it behooves artists to serve authenticity even further. You know, like, go harder.
And
find it harder.
We got to support these. Like, he's a young guy, 21 years old, just signed to Columbia. He's releasing singles right now, probably just trying to get everybody's whistle wet for more to come. But I love a triple threat. I love people, you know, and what I find when we were talking about, like, the actors from The Pit, how a lot of them are on Broadway. And I do love, I think we forget how incredibly talented you have to be on TV.
Oh,
and to get in films. Like, I think people think it's like TikTok where you can get famous in 30 days. It's not like that.
Or you,
like,
can trick somebody.
Yeah. I mean, I think on social media, you can kind of trick yourself into fame. But there's still old school fame that's really important, and training and skill that is always going to overpower a viral moment.
Look at us sounding like 1930s studio heads. The real talent. You'll get on the screen and you'll make
a cigarette
dance.
You'll be famous, baby. You'll always be famous to me, Miles.
All right, now from my blind spot that I'm teaching you about, are you familiar with the show Adults on FX?
I am.
Okay. We had Owen Thiel on this show about a year and a half ago, I think, when this show debuted. I expected it to be a show about friends. That would be amusing. I did not expect it to be, I would say, an heir apparent to shows like Veep and 30 Rock, and that it gives you just a fuselage of jokes. And they're all delivered deliriously by actors who are capable of giving it the personality the writing already has.
Wow.
You know what I would compare it to? I would compare Adults to Clueless. And that Clueless is written with a very specific voice, right? Like Amy Heckerling went out into the world and she's like, let's get the let's get Beverly Hills here. Let's get the Valley in here. Let's get, you know, let's create some lingo, et cetera. And then she hired actors who then brought their own kind of, we'll say patois to it, or like, you know, can bring like add additional personality to what's already on the page. So you have two layers there. And I feel like Adults has that in spades, and it is so, so funny. And actually, the most impressive thing about this show, and it's just about six or
five. Is it a comedy or is it a
dramedy? It's a comedy. It's a comedy.
Okay.
And it's five 20-somethings who live in a house, and, you know, they're like Gen Z messes. Like, they don't look in their mailbox. You know, they, like, that's basically what you need to know. They don't look in their mailbox.
That's the only Gen Z thing about me. I didn't check that thing in like 3 months.
No, no. Here's me walking past the mailbox. Bye. Who knows what's in there?
I don't know her.
Yeah.
Not to derail, but do people still, when I tell you I haven't checked my mailbox, maybe once a month.
No, it's frightening.
I don't even want to go in there.
I don't want a catalog, and I don't want to learn that I'm going to prison.
Wait a minute now.
I know it's one or the other.
Why would you be going to prison?
You never know.
You ain't paying him taxes.
That's what I mean. I thought I was, but you never know.
But there is always a surprise. I will say it does feel like going to a raffle when I go, because there's always like a check from SAG in there that's like 18 cents. Where I'm like, is this going to be 18 cents or $20? It's not going to be more.
Yeah.
But
no, exactly.
You know, I get a little residual in there. And then there's a lot of catalogs about like California closets.
Yeah. Sure.
That's all that's in there.
No. So precisely, it's these like 20-something millennials. And you would think to a certain degree, like when you get a show like this, it would have to be about how they all have this sort of ironic detachment from everything.
Sure.
But they're not. They're very sincere and they're doing their best with each other, even though they're also kind of like Gen Z slobs.
Yeah.
So it's fun watching them kind of skitter to get through all these comedy situations while seeming real, while loving each other, and while also being so fucking ridiculous.
I'm nervous about the Gen Z.
That's what I'm saying.
I
the
love
thing
LA.
That should make you nervous, it is not like I love LA at all. I was getting around those three words.
Because I couldn't stomach that one.
Here's my thing about I Love LA is it's good for two episodes. Right. I just don't need that resting sort of like Silver Lake malaise for like
maybe
a season at a time.
Maybe a movie would have worked for me for I Love LA. I agree with you, by episode three or four, I was like, oh, I can't. This isn't digestible.
And also,
for
by
me.
The way, you get it.
Yeah.
You know what it's like? Okay, this is the resting gestalt of the show. You know, this, I feel like, even
very
more impressively, the plots are more interesting.
Right.
Like for some reason, one of the girls in the show can't stop visiting her high school.
Okay, that's funny.
Yes, right. She just will walk into a classroom and they're
what?
Like, she's here. Yeah.
Okay, you have sold me.
Yeah.
Sold.
And by the way, she's like kind of normal in every other way. So it's like.
And I actually am like, I feel like I'm in a lull right now while I'm waiting for the new shows. This is like that weird time where like you're waiting for your new shows.
Yeah.
You finished all the ones that are currently, or they're dropping once a week, like the Lioness or whatever. They're dropping once a week. So you need your fill in between.
Right.
So, okay, this is what I'm going to fill it with. It's out for, is this the second season?
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, let me just say about Lioness. Only twice now have I caught glimpses of the show.
Mm-hmm.
First time I walk into a room, it's Zoe Saldana getting waterboarded.
Yeah.
The other day when I'm at my own home and my friend Alex, I walk in with food for us. He's watching it. And it's Zoe Saldana being tortured in another way.
Well, her character has been kidnapped this season. So the arc for the season is finding her.
Well, shit. And they are going through all the methods.
Oh, yeah, baby. They giving it to her. Zoe's, you know, she's, I will say, I told you she has won me back. Because she lost me for a little bit.
Okay. I was going to say, is all this torture because of Emilia Perez?
That and Nina Simone.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
But no, she's fantastic in this role. And also it's like hard to beat because, again, Morgan Freeman's on the show. Nicole Kidman's on the show. Yeah. Michael Kelly is on the show. And then all the supporting actors are incredible on the show. So, you know, it's some propaganda on this thing, though. Yeah. You know, I've been doing the Matrix trying to dodge Taylor Sheridan's.
Oh, right, right. Because it is a Taylor joint.
Just don't forget who's doing the show. Right. If you can put that to the side, which some people can't, I respect it. You know, also, you know, there are other shows that you can watch in between time. But I've been trying to find a little bit of something to fill my time. So now that I know that that's two seasons, I'm putting it on.
And then you're putting on Adults too, because it is my favorite show this year.
Adults, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm putting on. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's if it's your favorite.
I can't wait for you to report
that joke
back.
Alone got yeah. me because that's hilarious.
Yeah, no, also, I mean, like one of the guys takes a job as a Postmates driver and he ends up delivering beer to kids and he doesn't know what to do, but they're playing video games, so he drinks the beer with them.
No, this sounds funny. It actually sounds really hilarious.
Anyway,
so,
it's very, very funny.
You know, I will say like their poster didn't grab me.
Well, you're right. All of the
because it looks the same.
Up, yes, right.
Hulu does this thing where they make the show, the front poster graphic. It's almost very similar to like four other shows that they've done. And whenever it's a group of people, they like to get them on the ground and put them in a circle and take a picture overhead. And I'm like, how many times are we going to do this shit? Can we have something a little different?
What? Yeah. Is that all about like beta testing? Why do they think the same thing is going to work every time?
It's an ensemble cast. It's like three girls and three guys. Let's put them on the ground in a circle. Put something in the middle and take a picture from over top.
I love this exec character.
That's my executive voice. My executive doesn't know shit.
By the way, you have accidentally previewed my Keep It twice this
have
episode
I?
Already.
Oh, so, well, let's get into it.
I'm going to say, so just be ready for it.
All right, guys, when we get back, it's time for Lewis's Keep It. Mine too, but his first.
Okay. Keep It is brought to you by Helix. And frankly, I am brought to you by Helix because they are responsible for my entire well-being.
That's
I mean, they nourish me more than most food does at this point. I have probably had my Helix, three, 4 years? Who even knows? You know, it's the Midnight Luxe mattress. You know, I sleep like a doll every single time.
That's why you look so good.
Oh, my God. Yes, this gossamer skin, honey. Helix offers free shipping and seamless delivery. They deliver your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. They also offer a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty, and you can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress.
And Helix is the most awarded mattress brand. It's tested and reviewed by experts like Forbes and Wired and Lewis.
That's me. Go to helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Keep It. That's helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Keep It. helixsleep.com/keepit.
And we're back. Lewis, it is time for the hottest part of the episode. Keep It. You start.
Okay. You've said her name twice this episode already. And I love her, of course. And of course, what human being wouldn't?
Right.
But my Keep It, I think it's time for this. I think we all know it's time for this. Keep it to the Nicole Kidman AMC ad. I do not want to see it one more time. Do you know when it debuted?
No, I'm curious.
September 2021.
Really?
We have been watching this for 5 years.
Wow.
Here's the thing. When it comes on in the theater, before whatever we're watching, every reaction to it makes me sick. The guy who needs to get up and salute, that's over. I don't need to see that anymore. Even the clapping, the hooting, we already did that. It's 2023, it's 2022. And then sometimes it plays and no one says anything, and that feels like a funeral. Just stop playing
it. What would make you happy? The stop playing it.
Let's get somebody new into it. Is Sally Hawkins doing anything? Somebody else walk
so
into the theater.
You want to take her bag away. You want her fired.
Excuse me. You believe I am taking Nicole Kidman's bag away by taking one of her 750 gigs this year.
That woman stays working.
Excuse me. I think she might be the most employed person in entertainment history. Here's Bob Hope. Here's Nicole Kidman.
Film, TV, commercials.
Yeah.
She's probably doing some voiceover somewhere.
No, right.
Like, that girl works.
She loves to employ people, as she has said.
Yeah, she's keeping them checks coming in.
It's just also, the last thing I see before I watch a movie is an inside joke, or you're pretending it's an inside joke we're all in on. and I have to stomach that before I watch the movie I'm excited for. It's like it's like a sad trumpet before I watch the movie.
I don't mind if they do it, like put it on your Instagram page or something, but I do think it has been beaten to death. Yeah. And I feel like it's this cheeky thing now, but you're right. It is kind of like played out. Like there's nothing fun about it anymore because it's been done so much.
I also thought they were going to give us way more iterations of it. They had said she had done sequels and stuff. And like there are like slight alterations they've made to the original, but nothing that makes it a new version.
Add some more people in there. Put some people in there with her or something.
I hate to say it. Bring a man into it. Who knows?
Oh, now you've lost me. Who are you?
I'm a pro man.
What man would you be? I'm a manosphere blogger,
and everyone needs to listen
to me. Are women not losing enough jobs in Hollywood? Now you want us to lose another one? What man would you put in there?
Oh, no, actually, you know what? Throw Zoe Saldana in there. I mean, she's great. She'd be great.
You want the Lioness cast in there? Zoe and Morgan.
That'd be lovely.
But that would be fun.
Yeah.
I would like a little triple threat. I don't care who they pick, but I think like use Nicole for something else.
Yeah.
A new campaign or just do something different.
Yeah. There's nothing to mine from what it is anymore.
There's like, nothing that a CEO loves more. An old CEO loves to beat a dead horse.
Yeah.
We're going to do it and we're going to do it 50,000 times. We're not going to think of anything new. Because if they thought of this, then think of something else clever.
Also, clearly, it's just 5 years old now. Right. I mean, like, literally, if this started while you were in middle school, you're graduating high school and this is still going on.
I was thinking it had only been out for like 2 years.
Yeah, no.
But you're right. That's a long time. Basically, during a pandemic, this came out.
No, when I wrote for the Oscars in 2023, we had to make jokes about it and it was old by then.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Netflix thing that everybody's doing on Instagram, like the skits. Like, it's
Right.
I think you're right. I think once, and that's just another iteration of a keep it. Once it's done, we got to stop forcing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
No jokes are funny when they're forced.
Yeah. And we loved it. We loved what it was. We loved what it was.
It's time to retire it.
Yeah.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Nina, what is your keep it this week?
Mine is kind of fall specific. Okay. Just for you.
Thank you so much. I love to feel seen.
Keep the Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, I think I agree.
I'm done with it.
Yeah.
And this is why. And I know this is going to be controversial because Sinners has they have like an exhibit now. They like a haunted
exhibit,
which is going viral because it's supposed to be so cool. Ryan Coogler went and experienced it. Like, I do think that's cool. But in general, the Halloween Horror Nights going. Have you done this ever?
Like 7 years ago, like a Knott's Berry Farm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So most of the, if people don't know, which if you don't know, I don't know where the hell you live in, but like most of these theme parks will have like a Halloween, Universal calls their Halloween Horror Nights, but they all have their own name for the iteration of like their haunted houses that basically take over their theme park.
Yeah.
And it runs basically, I think Halloween Horror Nights started already. Like it would make sense to start right now. Yeah. For a couple of months through Halloween. That being said, are we not living Halloween Horror Nights every single damn day? Can you eat lettuce? How much are your eggs? How much was it to fill up today? The cost of air, you go outside in LA, it's $100 to breathe the air. We're in it. This is how I feel like when people, you know, like, did you watch last season of Handmaid's Tale? No, baby, we in it. I'm living it. I'm living Dark Mirror right now. It's no longer fun for me to get scared when I'm scared on the daily. Guess what scares me? Opening my phone.
Right.
Every time there's a new headline, is something another right's been taken away. So for me, I no longer need that. Now, if they had like situations in these horror nights that were real life things, I'd pay for money to go into and walk into a time warp and see the gas was $2.99.
Mm.
I'd pay for that.
Ooh, you want the opposite of a dystopia. You want to just be in like the nice version that we were once promised.
Yes, it's not because the horror night is real life right now. We are in the bad place.
Ooh, I like that.
So we need the opposite to exist. Like, I want to walk to Universal and have an experience on what it would have been like if Kamala won the election.
Right. And
she's
waving from a place that's labeled Lake Ontario. Yeah.
The Gulf of Mexico still exists.
Yes, right. Oh, this is so exciting.
Planes aren't crashing every 5 minutes. TSA is working properly.
The reflecting pool doesn't look like an abandoned water park.
I mean, it's looking like Waterworld over there.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, just this year, I need a break from, I don't need a haunted experience. You know what I mean? I need everything imaginary needs to make us feel good right now.
Yeah.
The imaginary stuff that makes us feel tortured and scared, we doing that already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We're living in haunted.
Unemployment is high. Everything is high. It's the Halloween Horror Nights is every day, babes. So cancel. It's canceled for me. It's canceled until further notice.
It's sort of seeming like move it right along to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I listen. And I'm a Halloween baby. Yeah. October 22nd. I don't want any horn in here. Now, if we want to do less pumpkin carving, a little pumpkin spice latte, but all the horror stuff, I think we're full.
Yeah. You know where I'm going to level with you on? I think fall is extremely important as a color palette. That
okay,
I love.
That I respect.
Beyond that, but like spooky vibes? No
I
way.
I don't mind a spooky vibe. I don't mind a drink that has a little dry ice in it.
Oh, no, no.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, no. Potions are important. Like, I didn't say potions weren't important.
You like are you
Vincent Price culture?
Do you
what
ever,
are you talking
do
about?
Do you ever do your own potions at home? Are you that kind of person? Like you throw cinnamon over your shoulder?
Oh,
do you freeze a name?
No, I have friends who like rub quartz and are like, I need to cleanse
sure.
your space and stuff. And
but
I'm
you
like,
sage?
Do
you? You have sage in your house?
No, I don't.
You don't sage?
I live like a frat boy.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, we're going to get you some sage at least.
Okay.
Because I've been walking around with that thing on my hip. I've been walking around with that thing like I'm about to shoot somebody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's just everywhere?
Sage. Just sage, yes!
Well, anything.
It's on my hip.
Anybody who loves skincare like you do is going to be sage-oriented, I think.
Yes. You got to cleanse a space. Sometimes you got to cleanse a space on the go. Yeah. You ever just walk away and somebody's energy is so stank, it's like sticky, like syrup.
Oh, yeah, but
you got to have a little sage in the car and just whoop, whoop.
But that's where my wonderful one-liners come into play. That's my sage, if you will.
Yes, exactly. You do have sage, but we're going to get you some real sage, at least some sage spray.
Okay.
To get us through the Halloween horror nights that is the Trump administration that's beating us in the head day after day.
Oh,
but
my
yeah,
God.
That, you know, listen, I'm not saying I do want to support the center's, exhibit because it looks fun.
What I saw of it looked pretty impressive and also looked like the movie.
And there's actors in it and it's, obviously they have the actors, they call them something, the scary actors. Mm. But it does look fun. I'm watching it on TikTok.
I'm not
going in there. And also, I'm just not a big fan of getting scared in my face. Like, I don't think it's fun for you to jump in my face with a fake chainsaw.
I am always interested in people who love that stuff.
Why would I want that?
I just don't relate. Well, again, I don't really relate to horror people.
Right.
I like good horror movies, but the vibe of oh, I'm frightened. It just doesn't.
It's an adrenaline
with me. It's
rush.
It's not memorable for me.
I think some people think it feels like a drug. It's such an adrenaline rush. But at those specifically, they just literally terrorize you until oblivion. And I just don't have the bandwidth for that right now.
Yeah.
I'm on edge.
Right. You hit me in the wrong spot. I'll just start confessing crazy things.
I may start swinging.
Yeah. I would like to see that, honestly. Because I know you can.
As long as you got the bail money to help me out when I need it. All right, you guys, we appreciate y'all for listening. We will be back next week with another episode of Keep It.
We'll see you then. Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Caroline Reston, Kelsey Gante, Kendra James, Lindsay Gomez, and me, Louis Fertel. Our team includes Matt DeGroat, Rachel Gajewski, Delon Villanueva, Claudia Shang, Mia Kalman, Jay Banks, Charlotte Landis, and Jordan Cantor. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.